Today, Shir Mishnah Brura Yomi is Daf Nun Amud Beis, and we're beginning, still in Siman Lamed Beis, with Sif Chaf Ches, continuing to discuss the right way to write certain letters and what makes it low kisidra and what makes it a problem. Chaber writes, Yesh Lizor Shalo Yikonis Rosh HaLamed Ba'avir HaHei O HaChes Afilu Below Negiyah. When you have two rows, so you have letters on the bottom row, they could potentially, if they're long letters, extended letters that go up, they could potentially extend into the row above them. If they touch, that's obviously a real problem. We've spoken about that already many times. But what happens if they just go into the airspace? So the Mechaber tells us you have to be careful that the head of the lamed is the tallest letter, so the top part of the lamed, when it extends above, let's say, the third line, and it runs into the second line, so if it runs into the airspace of the letter he or the letter ches, which are open on the bottom, so then it could be a problem. It would distort the hey or the ches. And we'll see it's other letters also that are open on the bottom, as the Mishnah Berurah will now bring down. So the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Kufchav Tes writes, Afilu Koshu, the lamed, the top of the lamed is not allowed to enter even a little bit into the airspace. Rosh HaLamed Bishur Shalamalei Menu, up into the row above it. Buhadin Bechav Pshuta, the same thing applies with a Chav Sofis, the long Chav that extends down to the line below it. Uchadoma, Shalo Yikonis Bishur Shalamata, it shouldn't extend into the airspace of letters that have an opening on the top, like the letter tes or the letter ayin, or any other combination that you can think of with a letter extending up from into the row above it or down into the row below it. In Sivkot and Kuf Lamed, the Mishnah Berurah writes, the same thing applies if the lamed doesn't only extend into the airspace of the hey or the ches, but it also extends into the space in between the two legs of the aleph, or the tuf. The tuf also has two legs with a space in between, or chadom, or any other letter that you can think of. The kol shekein, she is or shalo yikonis ba'avir dalet or resh. You certainly have to be very careful it doesn't extend into the airspace of the dalet or the resh in the row above it, because then the dalet or the resh has a lamed coming up into it. This shouldn't therefore look like a letter hey. If you have the top of the lamed extending onto the left side of a dalet or a resh, that dalet or resh is going to look very much like a hey, as we'll see in a moment. Sivkotin kuf lamed aleph. The Mishnah Berurah says, "V'hu adinim nichnas rosh lamed l'soch avir shochav pshuta." Same thing would apply. Not only it wasn't specific for the hey of the ches. The same thing would be if the top of the letter lamed went into the airspace of an end chav, which is basically like an elongated letter resh with a line coming all the way down, the right leg coming all the way down. As we will learn in a moment in the next sif. And he brings us down the name of the Chuvus Ma'arim Brisk. Rabbi Kiva Eger says that all of these bidiyevet are acceptable, and the lashon of the Mechaber seems to imply that you shouldn't do this l'chatchila, but since the letters aren't actually touching, and you actually will see momentarily that there is no doubt as to what the letter is, so bidiyevet, these are acceptable, although l'chatchila, one should be careful about this. Finally, the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkav and Kuf Lamed Beis writes that they can't be touching. If the letters are touching, the top of the Lamed or the bottom of a long Chaf goes and touches to the next line above it or below it, respectively, so then certainly it's no good if it's touching another letter, because then the letters aren't surrounded, as we've mentioned many times, Hakofas Gvil, surrounded totally by parchment. And as I mentioned a moment ago, here's where the Mishnah Berurah says it, that the language of the Mechaber implies that this is a din l'chatchila. One should be careful about this. The davka l'chatchila, avalo l'ikuva b'dievet, as we just brought down the name of Rabbi Kiva Eger, that the Mechaber's lashon seems to imply that this is only something you should try to do, but if after the fact it did extend into the airspace without touching a letter, then it would be acceptable. It's not ma'akev, it would be acceptable b'dievet. This is talking about where it's good b'dievet is if you haven't destroyed the appearance of the letter. The lamed only extended up a little bit into the airspace and it didn't make the letter look like something totally different. If it enters so much so, that now the letter doesn't look at all like the letter beforehand. That if a young child who's being asked to determine over here what letter this looks like. If you cover up the row on the bottom, so all you see now is the top of the lamed extending up there. And with the top of the lamed extending up there, just the top of the lamed extending into the airspace of whatever letter it is, the young child is not able to recognize what the letter is. Harishinu tzuras ha'os, then the letter has been changed. Upasul, and there is no way to correct this over here. Gam lo yitzuya bo tikkun mishum shelo kisidrin. You can't correct this now because when you go and return it to its right tzura, you're recreating, you're rewriting the letter. And by tefillin and mezuzah, as we've mentioned multiple times, it has to be done in the right order, and this will be done shelo kisidrin. The Dirshu footnote 172 brings down the reasoning for this. Ubetama dovish atzorich lechaso sasashita tachtona. It says the reason you have to cover up the bottom part of the lamed and only let the top part of the lamed extending up into the letter, into the airspace. That's the only thing that the child should see. He brings down the name of the Keses HaSefer, Shehu Mishum Shemiyad Shemishihischil Lichtov Rosh HaLamed. This is if you're starting writing the Lamed from the top and writing it downwards. So when you write the top of the Lamed, the letter Lamed hasn't been formed yet, and you're writing that in the airspace of the letter above it. Even though once you write the whole Lamed, you can clearly see that the Lamed is a separate letter, and it won't interfere with what the letter looks like on the top row. It's no good, because when you wrote only the top part of the Lamed, you started writing from the top. This is how the Dirshu explains it. This is well how the Halacha Berur explains this, that when you're writing from the top, you haven't yet written the letter. So all it is having an extra piece of ink over there, a little bit of a line over there, and if that destroys the tzura of the top letter, so you are ruining the letter over here. The only time that line of the top of the lamed is not just a line, it becomes the letter lamed, is when you finish writing the letter. And therefore, this would be krak tuchos. This would be like you were engraving over here, and therefore it's not considered a positive letter, and therefore it is no good. And therefore, so when you start writing the lamed from the top, that's when you have to cover up the rest of the lamed to see if a tino can read it correctly. Therefore, he says, if you're writing up the lamed from the bottom, the person starts with the bottom of the lamed and then writes it all the way to the top, and that top part now extends into the next row above it in an improper way. Here, when you ask a young child to see, can he read the letter, you don't have to cover up the entire lamed, because here the lamed wasn't written incorrectly. The lamed was a lamed from moment one until the very end. And therefore, that is a different situation. Now, the Mikdash Ma'at says the same thing over here, and this is what the Halacha Brewer says as well. The Mishnah Berurah continues and says that this is really a problem, especially if the lamed is going up and extending into the space of a dalet or a reish, like we mentioned before, because now it looks like a hey, and that certainly would be possible. And here, Eino Moel Bezeh Kriyas HaTino Kahogen. Here, a young child reading it will not be of any value. It won't be able to be good. Shari Eino Rosh Nishtana Yidei Zeh Lo Sacher. Because we ourselves see that letter dalet or reish is really looking like a hey with the lamed extending up into it, and even the fact that a young child might read it correctly is irrelevant. Siv Chav Tes. The Mechaber writes, Imein HaParshios Shiguros Befiv Tzorech Shiyichtov Mitoch HaKsov. Here we're talking now about the proper kavana that the person writing the parchment, writing the tefillin, what he should not only be thinking about, how he should actually do the writing, what he should say, how he should write the letters. So he says, if you don't know the Parshios very, very well by heart, then Tzorech Shiyichtov Mitoch HaKsov, then you should only write it when you're reading it from a prior written, correctly written tefillin or mezuzahs. It could be a printed, it doesn't have to be a kosher one, but the parsha that you're going to write in the tefillin, you should read it, take out a chumash, and make sure that you're copying it correctly, because if you don't know it so well, it's very easy to make a mistake. This is l'chatril according to the Mechaber. We'll see in a moment that everybody will say that it's preferable to do this no matter how well you know the parshios by heart. And Siv Katan Kuflam at Gimel, the Mishnah Berurah says, "Dahainu be'eshu masul lichtov." When you're beginning to write, "Mistama dain ein baki b'kriyason ba'al peh kiroi." Person who's a new sofer and he's just starting to become a sofer, he may not be so familiar with all of these parshios. Ubifrap b'molav v'chaser, especially a word like totafos, which is written deficient without one of the vavs, so therefore it's very easy to spell it incorrectly. You may know the parsha, but you don't necessarily know how to spell each word, and therefore one should always be writing tefillin or mezuzahs from a prior already written, either kosher or not kosher, parsha of tefillin and mezuzah. It could be from a printed sefer as well. The point isn't that it has to be for something kosher, it has to be something that is accurate. Siv Katan Kuf Lamed Dalet. The Mishnah Berurah says you could either read it from a chumash and then write it correctly, or mi pimakri, or somebody could be reading it to you. Vayu, Hadvarim, Ha'ela, etc. So if somebody's reading it to you, that's also fine. Kadesh Lo Yita. The whole purpose over here is that you shouldn't make a mistake. V'mikzas ha'parsha shgur b'fiv. If somebody knows part of it, he knows, let's say, the parsha of Shema and v'hayim Shema, but he doesn't know v'hayim kiviyacha so well. So mutar lichtov also mikzas ba'pet. The part that you know, you could write by heart. However, ayin in the Bach, he says, shekasa d'mikoma kum mitzvah menamucha lichtov b'chol gabni mitoch haktzav. And this is what the halacha brewer says as well. The more correct way is that a person should always be looking at a properly written, a 100% correct be of the parashios of the tefillin and the mezuzah, and this way he won't make a mistake. The halacha brewer brings down that this is for tefillin and mezuzahs. However, a sofer is writing a sefer Torah, also lo lichtov afilo os achas shelo min aksav. The din by sefer Torah is that you must write it from a model. You must write it from a previously correctly printed sefer Torah or copy of the Chumash. Never can you write it by heart. And he says that it's a mitzvah and a mukhar to do this as well by tefillin and mezuzahs, even if you know it perfectly well by heart. However, he says when you're coming to make a correction in the letters, then you don't have to do this from a ksav. You can just make the correction, separating, let's say, two letters that are together. You don't have to have a chumash open in front of you to make sure that you have the parshios correctly. Sif Lamed, Eino Rashoi Lichtov Elo Im Kein Yodei Likros. A person cannot be a sofer unless he knows how to read Hebrew. He may be able to copy, he's a beautiful calligrapher, and he could copy something, but that person cannot be a sofer. You have to be able to read Hebrew. The Mishnah Brewer in Sif Katan Kuf Lamed Hey writes, the Lav Hochi Bekal Yochel Litos Veino Margish. Because if you don't know how to read, so you easily could make a mistake and you never even recognize it. Sif Lamed Amid. Lamed Aleph. Im Eino Kosev Mitoch Aksav. If you're not writing it from a previously printed in front of you model of the parsha, Lo Yichtov Al Peh Shemakra Oso Acher. You shouldn't just rely upon somebody else reading it to you. But if somebody else is reading it to you, Vayu Hadvarim Ha'ele. So El Imkin Yachzorhu V'Yikra B'Fiv. You should repeat the word that he says, and that is acceptable L'Chatchila. The Mishnah Brewer in Siv Katan Kuf Lamed Vav writes, Mashma dechashekosev mitoch haksov ein tzorch lotzi bepeh. If you are writing the tefillin or mezuzah from either a parchment or a sefer Torah or a printed cloth in front of you, so then you don't have to say the words out loud lechatchila. That's only for somebody that's very familiar with these parashios. Because then we're not concerned that he's going to make a mistake. And so writes the Magen Avraham, the Al Yeraba, who explained why in Yoreh Day it says that you have to write it. That's really for a Sefer Torah. But for Tefillin and Mezuzos, Shatevu Shkurs B'Fiv, and you're copying it from an already written or printed parchment, Ain Tzorech Lotzi B'Peh. You don't have to say each word out loud. However, he brings down the Prima Gadim, Shekein, Kavonis HaMagen Avram, Aval Harbe Me'achronim Cholku Azeh. There are those that disagree, and they paskin upasku to call Gavni Tzorch Lotzi Atevim Mipiv, Kodim Sheikh Tevena. That the right way to do this, the mitzvah in Amukhar, as we just explained from the Halacha Brura, is that the sofer, even if he's copying it from a 100% accurate document, so he should still say each word out loud. And the Bach writes, why? The Kachi Mitzvah Ksiva Stam, that this is the proper way to write a Sefer Torah, Tefillin, Mezuzos, that's the abbreviation Stam, Kidei Shetei Kedushas Hevel Kriyas Kol Teva V'Teva Yotzi Mipi Akori Nimsheches Ala Osios Shekesh Kosev Oso Miklat, because the breath of your mouth as you say it will somehow go into the letters and create a higher level of Kedusha. The Chozer Lechatchila, this is ideal, the optimal way, B'di'evet, Ein Nifsa B'chol Gavni Im Lotah. As long as you didn't make a mistake, if you didn't do any of this, it's perfectly still acceptable. These are really all prophylactic, preventative ways to make sure that you don't make a mistake. Sivkot and Kuf Lamed Zayin, Afilu Hushogur B'fiv Gamkein. The Mishnah Brewer says that this is true, that you should say the words out loud, even if you are very familiar with the parashios. In Sivkot and Kuf Lamed Ches, the Mishnah Brewer writes that you should say each word out loud. Kol teva v'tevim kodim shichtevena. Each word should be said out loud. Don't say a lot of words together. Kidei shelo yitte. You shouldn't make a mistake. So vayu, then you write vayu. Hadvarim, hadvarim. V'koshikein imu kosev al peh b'li makri. And certainly if he's doing this by heart, so he then should certainly go and only write one word at a time to make sure he doesn't make a mistake. In Dirshu footnote 176, he brings down from the Shevet Alevi, Sheroi lahachmiv likro kol teva b'vneatzvo. Read one word at a time. V'lo likro kama tevos l'kotsum b'vasachas. And not to write v'yu adrim o'ele, and then write v'yu adrim o'ele. Udlomach shekosav ha-miktish ma'at. Others disagree. He says the miktish ma'at says you can do that you don't have to write one word at a time, but he says it's much better to do that. And in Dirshu footnote 177, he brings down from the Hakesis HaSofer, Shebeteva Shal Kri Uksiv, when you have a word that is spelled and pronounced differently, Yikorius HaTeva Kimo HaKsiv, you should when you say the word, how totafos, for example, don't say totafos, but write totefes, kadesh lo yita b'chsivoso. So this way, the way you mispronounce it is actually the way it should be written. Because again, you're not being yotze over here trying to say the parsha of Shema at this time, but you're trying to write sure that you write the parsha correctly and don't have deficient letters spelled out fully or full words spelled out deficiently. The halacha brura does bring down in rotzel likro shtayim u'shalosh tevos v'achachach l'kosu in yesh lo amish yismok. There are those that allow this, as we just brought down as well, but it is preferable to do one word at a time. The halacha brura says when you're writing the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't say it out. You can just say yud kei vav kei, or you can write shem havaya. Say shem havaya when you're writing the letters of the yud kei vav kei. You don't actually say out the name. Sif lamed beis tzarich laniach cholok lamalik kedei gago shalamed. You should leave a little bit of space open at the top of the parchment, at least enough that you could have the letter lamed over there, without going all the way up to the edge of the parchment, because you need mukav kvil. It needs to be surrounded, of course, by total parchment. So if it went all the way to the top, it would be no good. So he says, make sure you leave enough space over there on the top that you'll be able to write in the letter lamed over there should it occur. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kuf Lamed Tes, if Kuf Lamed Tes writes meashitos, that you're leaving over here a little space above the top line, kivei gaga shalamed, enough to have the gaga lamed. The nirali, the hainu michtov benuni. How big should this be? This should be an average size lamed, even though you're writing much smaller letters on the rest of the page. The Ramah then adds, hago, shiu gam hei mukofim gvil. You have to make sure that it's totally surrounded by parchment, so that's why you have to have enough space over there. Ulamata, likewise in the bottom line, kishir kof v'nun. You have to have a kof v'nun pshuta. You have to leave enough space that you could write down the full letter kof, or the full letter nun, that are pshuta, the end letters, kof v'nun, that go all the way down. So you have to make sure there's enough space there as well. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Kuf Mem, he writes, V'od mashu lakofes gvilam, leave a little bit more space over there because you don't want to go right up till the edge. The tam l'chozeh, kidei sheyizdam in lo l'chosvam, sheyeh lo mokum zeh. Should the letter lamed or letter nun or end the chof be there at the top or the bottom, respectively, you'll have plenty of room to write it and still have mukav gvil. Furthermore, v'yeh shomim d'tzorach l'niach od l'mala migaga sholamed l'mata mi'chof v'nun sofis, pshuta, kidei chatzi tziparin. You should leave a little extra space, like the length of a half of a fingernail. The Mechaber continues with Chilas of Esof and Ein Tzorach Laniach Klal at the beginning and at the end, on the right and the left. You don't have to leave any space over there, but the Ramah adds, Miu Nagu Asof and Laniach Tzas B'Tchila V'Sof, that you do leave some space over there. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Kut and Kuf Memal says, Rak Mashu Lakovas Gvilam, just a little bit, you should leave there at least L'Chatchila to make sure that any letter there is surrounded by parchment. And in Kuf Mem Beis, he writes, Hainu Kitzas Yosem HaKovas Gvil. The little bit extra is to have more than just HaKovas Gvil. But then he brings down the Yesh Machmirim, the L'chatchila Tzorich, but L'chatchila Klaf, Kidei Liglo, Kol HaParsha, Kamo Mezuzah, that you should ideally leave enough space so that you could wrap it around the Parsha, and that's what the Halacha Berurah says is the Minhag of the Ashkenazim as well. The Ramah then continues and says, V'tzorich laniach bein kol teva v'teva kemelo os. In between each word, you have to have a space that's the size of a letter. The Mishnah Berurah says in Kuf Mem Gimel that it's the size of a small letter, like a yud. U'b'divyevet ein lissol el imkeniris k'siva achas latinok lo chakim lo tipesh. And as long as it doesn't look like it's one word, then it's acceptable, as long as a young child would read it correctly. The Ramah continues and says, V'chein bein hashitim kol shita. In between the lines, it should be the space of a line. Or bein kolos, and in between each letter, kemo chut hasara, like the thin thread or hair, kemo b'sefer Torah, like in the Sefer Torah, ukemo shizbar b'tur yeridea. And kam tzorich laniach mat cholok bein pasuk l'pasuk, you also have to leave a little bit of space in between every pasuk. And mitzvah Hashem, we'll finish off the Mishnah Berurahs on these tomorrow. That ends today's shiur.